Welcome to Enlighten My Loafers. I'm your host, Brett White, and I'm a reporter-producer for Decider.com, which is a TV and movies website, and this barely has anything to do with that, except today it kind of, sort of does. This podcast is all about personal style and fashion and things that I'm probably not qualified to talk about, except that I wear clothes, and I like wearing clothes. like all humans, I wear clothes. Today is another special episode of season 3, the shut-in season, as I'm unofficially dubbing it. I have with us today the dynamic duo behind Celestino. You know him from Project Runway, Sergio Guadarrama, and also his partner in crime and also in life, Kate Johnson.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for being on. How is life? How is everything going? It's been a week since the Project Runway finale, right? Only a week?
Yeah.
It
feels like a lot longer than that.
Yeah. Literally, it feels like this has all been done. I feel like it's still July, minus the cold weather. It's gone by so fast.
Yeah. Well, and y'all had a huge moment in the finale. I mean, aside from just the runway show, which we will get to because it was stunning, the behind the scenes moment was so great. Yeah. The proposal. I mean, was that a surprise? Was that?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, it was. I was shocked. I honestly, you look at the show and you would never know it, but literally this man does not like attention. This man does not like to pull stunts. He's very much one of those guys that's like,
I'm super introverted.
Yeah.
When it comes to everything.
Exactly.
And Kate's the complete opposite.
Yeah. I told him, one of these days, if you do decide to ask me to be your husband or whatever, it better be big, honey. that moment.
I feel like backstage at New York Fashion Week on a Project Runway season finale is about as big as in y'all's world. That's pretty big.
It was very well thought out. He did an amazing job, and yeah, we're happy. Good things are coming. This is something that we both decided we wanted about a year ago. It was like, okay, yeah, we can handle each other the rest of our lives. Yeah.
Well, I guess so. Stretching back, we'll get to the Project Runwayness of it all later, but I want to talk about the origins. Mm-hmm. Where did the Celestino company come from? Or even further back, where did the interest in clothing and style and fashion all come from?
Yeah.
I feel like I've done this many lifetimes. At the age of 4, so I grew up very, very poor. And I would ask my mom for the weirdest things. At 4 years old, I wanted a fur-lined trench coat.
Oh, yeah.
And even cold in Texas. And she's like, where are you getting this stuff from? So I've always had an innate curiosity about creating clothes with my hands. And I've just been obsessed with it. Honestly, I love making things.
Yeah. I guess my whole thing is my style came from just being, I actually used to be one of the most flamboyant people in my school and not know that I was gay, first off.
That's usually how it goes. Everyone else knows before you do.
Exactly. So I was wearing, I don't know, I was just obsessed with fashion all my life. And of course, I grew up in a very small town of 2,500 people. And we had 2 stoplights and that was about it. And so reality television was my gateway to the idea of fashion. So Project Runway, America's Next Top Model, Dancing with the Stars, all that kind of stuff was what segued my interest into the arts and fashion and entertainment. And so I was always just buying the most ridiculous clothes and not looking the best in any of them. But after I graduated high school, I was okay, I decided to do modeling and acting and got into an agency. And from there, did a lot of stuff commercial wise for different companies in Dallas. And yeah, that's, I guess, my intro into fashion and all that stuff.
What is the craziest thing you ever wore to high school? Of I'm gonna stunt today. I'm gonna wear this to high school.
He would wear scarves in the middle of the summertime in Texas is 115 degrees with a t-shirt
and the ugliest bright green pants you can imagine. It was, she was feeling herself.
Yes. Well, So, like, growing up, did you have any, like, any style icons that you look to as, like, touchstones of, like, I'm going for that? Like, that is the goal. And, of course, that's probably changed over the last, you know, 20 years or whatever, yeah. But...
Mine was Tom Ford. He took over Gucci in the late 90s, and I don't know, I just liked what he was taking that company in terms of the aesthetic.
Yeah.
And I love studying history more than fashion and politics, but at that time, I really, really loved what he was doing. And that's kind of, I guess, what set my example for fashion. It was different than Kate's.
Oh. I mean, my fashion where I came from was like boots and jeans and then like a Hollister t-shirt.
Yeah.
So that was the fashion that was around me. But I think honestly, my door that was like, oh, that's fashion to me was at the time Express was really big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they had amazing like knit sweaters and like they did suit jackets and things like that were interesting and cool. And that's where I got those ugly ass green pants. But that was honestly, that was like the intro into it. And then my style icons, I guess, over time became like different successful male models in the industry that were like more rugged and more like manly. It was like mixing like brown leather and denim and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like bring it and then make you look upscale, but at the same time, like worn in and stuff.
I like that you talked about Express because that just took me back to like, you know, I guess it was like senior year of high school. And I guess it's when Express men hit our malls in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I can get like pink button down shirts, like made out of like not cotton. It was like that weird spandex.
Yep.
Like,
it had a little bit of stretch to it.
Weird stretch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really, didn't wash well. I don't know. Like, the collars would always, like, get really rolled and.
My God.
Not good. No,
it yeah, was, the fabrics weren't the best.
Yeah.
They tried it.
Yeah. It was definitely a time for men's fashion at that point for me, especially, like, I mean, I idolized it so much that when I graduated, I went to college for a year and my. I needed to get a job badly and I didn't want to work anywhere else but Express because I want a discount and they wouldn't hire me. So my mother walks in one day and is like, do you know how much money I spent here? You need to hire him.
That's a good Southern mom right there.
Oh my gosh, she was crazy. So then literally within a week and a half, they hired me. I worked for minimum wage and I spent all of my paycheck just driving to where I needed to go and never made any money.
Oh my
it was
God.
Ridiculous. But yeah,
I mean, what was it's just such a great story. Oh, my God. What were your first jobs in the industry? Was Express yours? And then
I guess Express and then the modeling and acting
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
Did you that have any mall jobs, Sergio?
My first job, because I moved to L.A. to go to FITM and I had to support myself. So my first job was working at Banana Republic.
Yeah.
And I thought Banana Republic was
the
kind
caliber.
Of, yeah. What Cade was expressing at Express. those were two things that I don't know. When I was young, I thought Banana Republic was the highest level of fashion that you could go
oh, yeah.
into.
Yeah,
I discovered more things.
No, yeah, that's like Banana Republic. It took me a while to realize that there are three tiers. It's like Old Navy, then Gap,
right.
then Banana Republic, and they're all literally owned by the same company.
Yeah, I was the Old Navy queen, like
yeah.
wanting to express, and then realizing that I needed to actually be like Gucci.
Well, so where did y'all meet? Did y'all grow up together, or you're both from Texas?
We're actually 11 years apart.
Oh, but like,
yeah.
are y'all from like the same neighborhood or?
Oh, so I come from
it's all
like,
fate.
Yeah, it literally honestly is. It's crazy because I was like, I honestly was never even supposed to even probably meet him originally in my like the beginning because I was supposed to just go back to my hometown and live and work. And that's what.
And get married to a woman.
And get married to a woman
yeah,
and have
that, yeah.
a and go to church.
Yeah.
And which is nothing's wrong with it, but that wasn't the path set for me. And so I did. I got into the acting and modeling and I ended up moving to Dallas. And then at the time, a mutual friend took me to one of his fashion shows where I met him in Austin. And then it just kind of happened. I added him on Facebook and then we became friends and caught up with each other a lot.
Yeah. We were friends for about 2 years
yeah.
before
Anything.
Like anything. Cade.
I was still straight at the time.
Yeah, he was still straight at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like I know both what it's like to think I was straight, but then also like kind of dating a guy. But then I also know what it's like to be out and then trying to date someone that's still like half in the closet. And it's.
Yeah. It's a journey.
It's quite a journey. But I mean, it culminates with a New York Fashion Week proposal. So
yeah, exactly. At the end of it, there is a Golden Brick Road.
Like, is a good...
You get to the Emerald City, honey.
Also, like, where were y'all both when, you know, late 2004 when Project Runway debuts? Like season one hits. Are you aware of it? Are you watching it? Is it like I finally feel seen?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually at FIT. I was getting my second degree, and I was like, oh, wow, this is a cool show. They finally have not only a show about fashion, but they're actually showing LGBTQ people on a platform, which was like, which when I was growing up, it's something I would be dying for because there was no representations of that. And they were always such a negative, they had negative connotations.
Yeah.
But you saw talented people creating beautiful things for the first time on television on a huge platform, and it was just very inspiring to have representation.
It was cool because it was both like gay people on the judges panel, you know, the mentor. Also, it was like at every level. It wasn't just like, because I think Queer Eye hit before Project Runway, like a hot second before, but it's like that's very much like five gay men are going into your life and making you over. Like they occupy the professional quadrant, I guess, of the show. Whereas on Project Runway, it was like all levels, like up and comers, established designers, judges, and it was like Bravo in the early 2000s was really like for all of us in Tennessee. Me and my friends would have, because I was in college at the time, we'd have like parties. We would come over and we would all watch Project Runway and Queer Eye together. And this was years before I came out or even knew I was gay. But it was still like we were all like, yes, representation, a thing we did not know it was important before this.
yeah
because Queer Eye was almost like a fantasy of where all straight people think that we live at, in like this perfect place where it's not dangerous. And then you get Project Runway where you actually you saw normal just everyday representations, and we were this like best friend, like weird makeover bubble that usually always put us into.
Well, it's like on season one, you have Jay McCarroll and Austin Scarlett, who are at two opposite ends of the like gay fashion designer spectrum.
Yeah,
and I think like super talented.
Yeah,
they were amazing.
Yeah, Jay McCarroll ranked at number 5, I think, in my ranking of every single Project Runway finale runway show that I did at work, which I will keep talking about.
Well, and I think it was great to see him, like, I guess him going back home and him winning, and that still it showed like how his family didn't quite understand him as a person.
Yeah.
And that was very powerful because I feel like that's a story that so many of us go through and we never really get to see that perspective. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just like so powerful and progressive that Bravo showed that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did what was it? What was the conversation like coming from Texas? Like when you're like, I want to go into fashion for like both of you with all the different like careers you've had.
My family thought like that I was an alien. Like I don't really have anybody that even has these types of conversations in my family. So they just were all strangely looking at me like, okay, because my dad wanted me to be a professional soccer player. Like literally as soon as I could walk, my dad had me playing soccer. So even having the conversation, it was just like, no, you're going to go play professional soccer. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And finally, like, I guess in high school, my dad was like, as long as you keep playing soccer, I'll let you do this. And it was kind of like a bartering tool.
Well, and you still do. Like, that was when Christian came and visited. Yeah, like, you took him to the soccer.
I'm so glad that my dad had me do those things because it's something that has resonated throughout my life and helped me keep, like, happy and healthy. But I'm also thankful that my parents supported me in what I wanted to do because at that time, it was still before Project Runway. My parents were like, how are you going to make money like designing clothes. Yeah. It wasn't even, you're like a fireman, a professional sports athlete, a doctor, a lawyer. Like it was limited to six things that we were presented with as a young person.
Yeah.
And like my parents were just so worried, how am I going to support myself? And it's still, it's hard as hell to support yourself as a fashion designer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that the money thing is was my parents' main thing with anything creativity and arts wise, because I mean, both of us come from families who work all their lives and have worked to save and get you what you need. Yep. And to survive and just be successful. And so for me, that was the main thing. Like I was given scholarships to go to college. And after 1 year of college, I was like, oh, this is not for me. Like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this.
Kate was getting an agricultural.
I was getting an agricultural. I used to do landscaping. So for me, it's always been some form of art, but I was doing landscaping and I was getting a business degree to own my own business and then go back home and work and have my own business doing all of that. And I just realized that, like, as much as I loved doing the landscaping thing, I really just wanted to embrace the creativity side. And so my whole family was like, my mother's always been supportive of me, no matter what it is, which most moms are, I would say, for the most part. But she was real. She came from a time where her parents, she felt like, didn't give her or let her try different things and become something that she wanted to become. She had to do what they said. And so her main thing with me was like, yes, I might not understand this, but I'll encourage you through it. And if you need help, I'll help you. And then both my dads were amazing, like my stepdad and my real dad. And yeah, I had a very encouraging family. It just, for me, it was like, how are you going to make money? How are you going to survive? And even then, when I wasn't surviving, they were like, how can we help you?
Yeah.
That sort of, you know.
Well, when does Celestino, like, when does it form? Or when do y'all, like, unite forces and go at it? Like that. So
I actually started it while I was at FIT in 2005. Started showing at Fashion Week while I was still in school. And had been doing it for, I don't know, probably 10 years before I met Cade. Mm. And I was doing it on my own. So I had all of these collections, but I didn't have enough time to shoot them and push them and everything. Yeah. He's like, all of this clothes, what are you doing with it?
Drove me insane. Like, I mean, so when we started dating, we started dating in like July, and by October, I had moved in with him. Like, it was that fast. And
just to get things cleaned up and like organized.
And I was just like, no, I loved my job. I was at the time doing what you do as an actor and model, which is wait tables. And then I became manager and then head bartender. And I was like managing people. And anyways, I was so overworked in the sense of like just not being able to focus on what I really was trying to do that he was like, why don't you just take a step back and like come help me, and you can also focus on what you want to do, which never happened. But I came on board and I was like, listen, this is like, you're an amazing and talented designer. I feel like I can give you some pointers and like fresher perspective on some things via, because I was in the industry. I'm still surrounded by the industry via from the other side of it. And then I also just know that it takes more than just the fashion to create the message and or to put the stuff out into the world. You have to be able to shoot it. You have to be able to tell us with a model and stuff. And so I came on board and was like, I took over everything he doesn't want to do. I do. So that's how it comes about.
Well, when did Project Runway come a calling? Like, were you also did you audition a bunch or did you just...
I actually
one time.
Yeah, I actually only first auditioned time. Like they actually ended up messaging me on Instagram.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
I've also talked to Kelly Dempsey from season 14 and Joe Siegel from season 11, and both of them said that they got like scouted basically.
You should do this or think about doing it.
Yeah.
we honestly thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
When they messaged us, because you get a lot of weird people messaging you on social media.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't really answer back. And then they kept messaging and we're like, okay, well, maybe this is something legitimate. Mm-hmm. And so we just went to see kind of what it was about. And I was like, okay, I can, I mean, this wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
So I went on there and
shocker. Yeah.
And was it hard? Was it a hard experience?
I think it was, I guess the process wasn't the hardest for me just because I do know how to do this very well. I think what was more interesting is kind of seeing yourself after you finish everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I was like, that's interesting.
I think honestly, yeah. I think for us too, I think all in all, the filming process, like him being gone, the good thing is when he goes away to this, he doesn't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
Like,
I have to make clothes.
He has to make clothes and good television. Mm-hmm. And both of those are neither of a job for him because he likes doing what he does. And then they're just filming him do it.
Yeah.
So that was the thing that he got to do. But it really put in perspective for both of us just how much we rely upon each other, I think, was the one thing that it did teach, and how like important it was for us to like understand where each other comes from.
Yeah.
Because he was gone. I developed a ready-to-wear collection and like tried to keep the company afloat and pay bills. And girl, New York rent is not cheap.
No.
And then to keep the lights on. And then at that time in the summertime, I had around like 11 interns that I was managing from FIT who are getting fashion degrees. And I haven't even had a fashion degree myself. And so that was like, it was a whole different perspective of each other's roles, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of threw both of us into the lion's den where he had to kind of do everything on his own, which he could totally, I knew he could handle it at the end of the day. And it just opened my mind up because you're never given this kind of situation where you're put in like this artificial world where all you do is create.
Yeah.
It's maybe in college you're in that a little bit, but not where you already know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so that was really interesting. It did open my mind up in terms of trying new things. And
you did make a t-shirt in the season, in the finale.
Girl, was that really a t-shirt though? That's the real question.
It was the Sergio version of a t-shirt, which is like a beautiful knit, like turtleneck kind of deal, which was amazing. On his-
It was the one for my planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I definitely live on my own planet most of the time. And I just see all of these things. I don't know. In the world that my mind goes to, it's just a very beautiful, safe place. And so that's where I like to create at, because I can just do whatever I want. And that's kind of how I view. I come out to the real world periodically to interact with other human beings. But most of the time, I'm just living inside of my own head.
And that's something, like I said, I'll create project or give credit to Project Runway for, is it definitely opened up his mind creativity wise to like even create more, because half of the stuff I saw on the runway, I've never even seen like in his head. Like, he's never brought that to fruition and brought it to where like most of our collections were about survival. And like, how can we sell this or find the client for this, and not really honing in? We would have a few dresses that were creative, but nothing ever was really just like what either he put at the finale and or throughout the entire season.
Yeah. Like, nothing was ever like, you have to make a dress out of Christmas decorations in a day.
Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, what was it like both winning your first challenge and then also later watching Sergio win his first challenge? Because I have to imagine that was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I'm so glad that I was partnered up with Brittany, because I know a lot of people, when you have two creative perspectives, like going in the same direction, is actually pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So it was nice, like, going in the same direction as a person. And we, I think, came together in a really beautiful way, and she designed an amazing jumpsuit, and I loved the dress that I designed, and I felt like that kind of set the bar for the whole season, is that first challenge. And that's the one, the one that I did want to win, just to set the tone, honestly.
Yeah, and it definitely did. I mean, when you, like, I guess you probably, maybe you can't say it because of NDAs, but like, when you come home, you're like, hey Kate, like, tonight's episode, like, I'm hot. Like, did you spoil things before watch parties?
No, I actually liked keeping the mystery, because then it just becomes something funner, and it honestly is just interesting seeing how you are on that episode for the first time.
I mean, I didn't sign no NDA for this, but let's be 100% honest. Like, the person I see on that TV show isn't always the person that's at home. Now, granted, some of it is.
Yeah.
On moment, I wanted to stab him. I was like, you really did not know that? But at the end of the day, it did not surprise me either that he did not know that. He could care less about pop culture.
Yeah, like, even...
I don't know pop culture. I don't follow it. Kate follows it a lot more. Yeah. But, like, if you ask me anything about history, I could literally...
Celine Dion is history.
Exactly.
Maybe before the 1950s. Yeah. That's probably...
I love it. I really loved the Christmas challenge, the, like, Jingle Bells, like, hoop skirt thing. I mean, you work with a lot of upcycled materials, but that is definitely different than working with wrapping paper, right?
Yeah, it definitely was. And walking into that room for that challenge, it was really terrifying because of the stuff in the room. Like, that room's actually really small. It wasn't very big. It actually looked a lot bigger on camera.
Oh, people got hurt. Like, it was a crowded space.
Yeah, people got hurt. And it was, I think it was more scary looking around and seeing, like, how the hell am I going to turn this into a garment? But as soon as I saw the basket, I was like, okay, that's definitely something I can work with. And the wrapping paper, I knew I could probably manipulate to make it or sew it in a way where it looked like fabric.
Yeah.
So I did definitely have a game plan, but my mind was just circling the room the entire time Christian was talking.
Just scoping out the place. I also love that you guys got to watch the trailer for Cats. That was before anyone else had seen any footage from Cats, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you guys watched that in a vacuum, and then, like, months later, when the internet sees that trailer for the first time, everyone loses their minds. And so, like, I don't know, it was really nice. I have to imagine watching that trailer in isolation was a very surreal experience.
It was pretty cool, because they did have, like, that's such a famous, like, Broadway production, and it had a lot of amazing people. And just, I don't know, the way they shot it was pretty cool. I actually saw one of the cats, like, walking around the streets in an evening gown, and I was like, oh, that's the street that I'm going to be putting my lady on.
That's, yeah, and you went for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Super streetwear.
Yeah. I love that. Like, yeah, she goes to the grocery store in this. It's like, okay.
Okay. Here's the funny thing. People got so mad about that. But if you go Google Beyonce L, you will see in L Beyonce in a ball gown shopping at the grocery store. So that goes to show that we are on trend.
Yes, exactly. You also won the sheer challenge with that amazing, like, sheer raindroppy kind of dress. Like, how often did you work with sheer materials before them? Was that, like, in your wheelhouse?
Yeah, I work with a lot of sheer fabrics, and it is something super difficult to work with if you haven't had a ton of practice. And that was actually tulle on top of, like, a sheer chiffon, which is really, really difficult to work with. And honestly, my inspiration was my model, Nora, just her telling her story about how her and her husband met and how their culture was created. Was just really inspiring. And that's when I think I'm at my best, is when I get true inspiration. Mm-hmm. And when you're creating, when you have 30 minutes to create something, like, that's the one thing that isn't negative to all of the designers. Because when you're creating, you have to find inspiration, and it's not going to happen in a 30 minute, like, where you don't have access to anything. Yeah. Like, you can't look at really anything. So everything that you're creating is just coming from your mind at one point or another. And because I had somebody to talk to, I felt like that was more of my authentic self.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's so weird. Like, at home, you can be inspired by, like, oh, I just watched this movie. I watched Blade Runner. Now I feel inspired to do this. But, like, Project Runway, I imagine you're not going home and putting on TV or getting your phone or anything.
Well, yeah, we don't have access to any of that. So you're literally just coming up with stuff out of thin air. And I think that is one of the things that trips up a lot of designers throughout the process, mm-hmm. is there's nothing to pull from. And so maybe that's a thing that they can change in the future, because you have to be inspired to create. And you're not going to get the best work out of talented people unless they're inspired.
I will say, at least y'all, you know, I don't know if it's like Bravo has more money this go around, but like some of the Lifetime seasons, I love all seasons of Project Runway. Every season is great. Some of the challenges would be like, this week you're inspired by Yoplait frozen yogurt. like they would do like weird things like that where it's like, okay, cool. We're inspired by a refrigerator this week. Great. Awesome. y'all didn't really...
Definitely milking all the profits out of that show, and it was on Lifetime. Yeah,
which, honestly, I'm like, you know what? If it keeps it on air, have them go to Coney Island and be inspired by yogurt. Whatever. Yeah. It makes some moments.
I mean, and that at least is an inspiration. So, like, the Cats Challenge was inspiring when we had, like, the Christmas Challenge using the ornaments. I think that was inspiring. It's where you just kind of had to come up with random things. That's actually where it became a lot more difficult.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that was the, like, the heritage challenge is kind of like that. It's like, be inspired by your heritage, which is such a broad thing.
Yeah, that one, that was actually the hardest one for me, just because it probably didn't come off on camera, but because I'm a person of Mexican descent, like, I was really depressed that entire day making that dress, and it was a one-day challenge, and I was really feeling like, honestly, what I was trying to convey the message of what these kids had gone through, and so it was really depressing, like, doing that look, and I wish I would have had one more day to maybe convey the message a little bit better, but, like, those are those things that I like talking about, because there should never be a time where somebody should be passing away, especially if they're a child, during processing, which is something like, I don't know, if you went to the DMV, do you expect to like die on the way out?
No. Jesus.
It didn't happen in any sort of capacity. And so I felt like I took on a lot more on the show beyond making dresses. And I went on Project Runway
for that purpose.
Honestly, for that purpose, is using the platform to talk about all the difficult subjects, and not really for any other reason. Like, I do have a pretty good business, but I know that Project Runway has a huge platform, and I did want to start these conversations. I wish they would have shown a little bit more of the message I was conveying. I feel like sometimes it either didn't get shown at all or was turned into something different.
Editing is going to do what editing is going to do.
And that's the thing too, is like, honestly, that genuinely comes from a good place in his heart, because our whole point of this company is, if we can just get by with paying our rent and paying for what we need to pay for, and then on top of that, have a successful business that we can, like, hopefully change the world with. That was the whole point of him going, honestly, because when I walked into the casting room with him the first time we went, because I was like, this is our company. We're a duo. This is what we do. And at the same time, we want to be able to change the world with our company. So if that means he's the representation of that, and like shows what an actual company can do with their platform, that's what we want to be able to inspire and put out into the world, because there are a lot of people who have very large platforms who don't make changes with them. They just
care about money.
They care about the money.
I'm like, it's so like, just to get depressed about like what's going on right now is like, I was thinking about how I am, you know, I guess, I'm like lower middle class in New York, upper middle class anywhere else, I guess, because New York is a nightmare with money. And I am just constantly thinking about like, who are the drag queens I like? Who are the designers I like? Like, what are the local record stores from all my friends' towns, like across the country? Where can I buy things? Where can I spend? Where can I give money to people that are just getting fucked right now? And I'm thinking like, oh, but who are the celebrities that are doing it? Like, who are the people with actual money? Who are the people with the billions of dollars?
Right.
Are they doing, I mean, just to put,
they're getting it for free 90% of the time.
Like a comedy theater that I spent a solid 8 years of my life creating free content for, paying to make content for, just laid off their entire theater staff because theaters are closed. And those are people that were employed. And it's like the theater is owned and run by millionaires. And there are a lot of really famous, wealthy alumni of this theater that could... You know, give some money. But, you know, whatever. I just donate to a GoFundMe because that is what we have to do. So yeah. That's, you know, so I am glad that y'all are trying to use a platform for something that is more than just like sickening looks. And
you know. Well, in fashion, fashion is so powerful. Every day you wake up and you're telling a story of who you are and what you believe in and what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. And I think fashion is the number one way to tell a message without even speaking words. And a lot of the time too, it also draws interest into something and how we look at it. And we were saying this before you ever went onto the show, when we have runway collection presentations, we would often like be like, this is the way, it's the business card that brings interest. And then you ask us where the inspiration comes from. We start telling you the story of why this is so important. Mm-hmm. And we actually get through to a lot of different people because people's guards are not up whenever they come to look at fashion and they see fashion. They're looking at something really beautiful. They're like in awe of it. And then it has this incredible message behind it that helps make a change. And it at least here lets somebody hear a different side that you don't normally wouldn't hear, you know?
I like, because that's so, like, isn't day-to-day life, where'd you get that shirt, is a thing that you hear all the time. So if it's like, oh, I got it from this company that does this, like, that's, it's such a icebreaker. I want to ask y'all about y'all's style, your personal styles, because basically every week I was also equally obsessed with what Sergio was wearing on the runway himself. especially
you can borrow any of it that you want.
I feel like we might be close to the same height.
Well, I'm 5'7".
Okay, I'm 5'6".
Okay, perfect.
So, well, so that there's a thing. So, like, there is a way, I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. So, like, Billy Porter is an example of, like, a man who dresses up and dresses out, and it is very, it's incorporating a lot of femininity into a, you know, looks that I wouldn't even say masculine, like he just wears what he wants to wear. But there are ways that the two of y'all dress on television and probably, you know, in your day-to-day lives that is different than how most masculine presenting men dress. It is an elevated form that isn't incorporating or pulling from feminine tradition as much.
Right.
I don't like, you know, stronger shoulder pads, like capes, like just extra things that are extra in a way that usually when men are being extra, it's because they are taking on a more feminine silhouette or something.
Right.
Like, yeah, we both like to stay in the more masculine realm, and we just more, I guess, exaggerate masculine details.
Yeah.
In interesting ways, and that's more of our style.
Yeah.
And we actually wear the same clothes. Like our wardrobe, we share it
90% of the time. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the one thing I will say that I'm super envious of him about is he can wear something extremely feminine and make it look super masculine. Because he's Latino, he has dark hair, dark eyes, dark facial hair. He can really pull off some things and make it look more edgy. Whereas this little white guy here tries it on. And, you know, I'm like queening out down the street, which nothing's wrong with that. Like, by all means, I'm all for that, too. But there are certain things that I wish I could wear. Like, he can wear leopard printed like shoes with skulls on them. And that looks really cool on him. And then if I do it, it looks like I got it from like a knockoff store down the street. I squeeze my feet into him. And then on top of that, they just look awkward on me. So, I mean, he's fun to play dress up with a lot of the time just because he can pull off some things that I can't. But at the same time, like the strong shoulder jackets, the capes, those moments, I feel like are my sweet spot for me a lot of the time.
I mean, how do y'all ever consider making men's clothes or like turning? Do y'all make all those looks?
Yeah, we make some of them.
Yeah, we make a lot of men's looks for ourselves because like men's fashion is boring. And
it's either boring It's either boring or it's not made for men like us.
Yeah.
And that was the thing whenever the reason we have, like, you can go online and see, like, our camel coat that has the big poofy sleeve. He has this gray jacket that comes around the shoulders as well.
Yeah.
I wore some really fun pants the night of the finale, mm-hmm. Project Runway finale.
Well, Sergio's finale suit, that, like, light blue, like, it has, like, a drawstring.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was like, that is the very first time I have, because this is a trend now. Like, Suit Supply has these suit pants with, like, drawstrings, and I hate them. And when I saw yours, I was like, this is the first time I've ever seen it actually work. Like, I understand it now. So, kudos. Changed my mind.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like,
we're not, like super tiny 28-inch waist guys. We're filled out, and we love the way that we look. And we also want, like, we want to be inclusive to all people, and we do know how to dress people with curves or people that are more filled out. And I think everybody should have the opportunity to look fabulous. Yes, it does cost money, but you also, you have an option to.
You pay for what you get.
Yeah.
Needless to say, too. And there's nothing wrong. Like, I'm a denim on denim guy too.
Oh, yeah.
So I will do denim on denim on denim on denim, and then maybe every now and then denim in a white t-shirt and some really cool boots. Like, I love a good James Dean moment. Like, that's my type of idol now, Marlon Brando-y, like, those types of things. But I also love to push it with, like, being the center of attention. Like, we just made a coat the other day for ourselves, and it's navy woolly like texture on the lapels and on the collar, and then the whole body of it, with the exception of the side panels, is navy as well, but the whole body is fuchsia pink, like literally this color.
Nice.
Yeah. So we love to push the boundaries of fashion and men's fashion, but I feel like if you do, like, these big pops of color, doing something that's really structured and, like,
in classic,
and classic can always make it seem more masculine. It just kind of depends on the situation.
We balance out the proportion with the essence of masculinity and push it at the same time to come up with something new and interesting, because we wear a lot of the clothes. When it comes to women's clothes, like, I'm thinking about it in a fantasy world, but when it comes men's world, like, we're actually wearing it every day.
Yeah, because I'm a bitchy person too. I don't like to be restrained. I don't like to feel uncomfortable. I don't like to be squeezed. Like, I have, if I'm gonna make it, I want to be able to wear it and wear it all the time, and I want it to last, which is something that we talk about a lot, is with our clothes and the stuff that we create, we make it to last.
Yeah.
And if it does end up having a tear or something, it can be fixed at the same time.
Yeah.
So
also, like, speaking of the fantasy world of your finale runway show, we should definitely talk about your finale runway show.
Yes.
Show-stopping moments. First of all, I have to ask, how did Mumsy react to the kombucha leather in the bathroom?
Oh, my God. Well, he's actually, I don't know if you can see, but he's
I've been seeing it.
Yeah, he's been, if you hear a bell jingling, that's definitely him.
He actually didn't mind it.
No.
Mumsy just really uses the toilet and his litter box.
And then she's out.
Yeah, and then he's out of there. Yeah. He doesn't really spend a lot of time in there.
Yeah.
So he didn't mind the kombucha. He definitely doesn't like water, so he will not go in the shower.
Yeah, he does. He's super chill about it. And honestly, the kombucha wasn't as... It does smell bad. Like, when you lift back that curtain...
Yeah, because Christian did a double take, basically. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's when you open it up, the smell of fermentation is very powerful, when it's covered, you really can't. We actually had it underneath our bed for like 2 months, and you can't really smell it.
Yeah, and that was towards the end of it, too.
Yeah.
So to be able to sleep with it was fine.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not that bad, but we...
And it's a great alternative and a way that people should be looking about creating, because it requires, like, such little water.
Yeah.
You're not... any animals, and it's really strong if you make the process it in the right way. If you just let it dry out, it is going to get very brittle and unusable. But it is just like leather, like a skin. If you let it dry out too long before you seal it, it'll just get brittle itself too. So it was just about getting the process right.
It was fun.
Yeah, and the story that you were telling of the melting of the Arctic, I like. You know, and going back and looking at all the runway shows, every finale, all 59, now 64 or 63, some of them tell really clear stories. And I don't know, like, when I talk to my parents about Project Runway, it's like, well, they watch a finale runway show. They don't, like, we tell a story with clothes. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. And right. So there's one, like, in season 13, Sean Kelly told the, like, the murder of Caesar through his collection.
That's
with the
my
friends.
Favorite collection I've ever seen on that show.
As soon as it turns around, there's that one pinprick of orange, not red, orange. It's like such a smart moment. And then, like, you just clicks. Your collection also, when you came out and introduced it, because I was at the finale show. name drop myself. I got to go. When you came out and said, like, this is what it is about, like, you clearly do just see that. And you're starting with, like, the really, like, cold colors and going to, like, the navy, and it's both beautiful, but then also just, like, depressing, but yeah. Also in a good way, in a we're learning kind of way. When did you decide that is what I'm going to do? That's the message I'm going to sell this story.
As soon as I came back, we made our last collection for Fashion Week, and as soon as we were done with that, I was like, I need to talk about something that affects every person on the planet, because this is going to be a huge moment.
Yeah.
And so I was working on it for about 2 months, and then this magazine interviewed me.
Well, one of the things that kept coming up was global warming.
Yeah.
Then a magazine reaches out.
Yeah. And then a magazine does an interview, and I start looking into this magazine, and they have this organization called MAPS, mm-hmm. which is the Marine Arctic Peace Sanctuary. And I started, and the owner is like a singer in Canada. And then I started listening to her music. Her music was gorgeous. So in the finale, that's actually her song without her singing. And I was like, okay, the universe is definitely pushing me towards this direction. And I mean, this is something that's not only, it affects every human on the planet, but with what she's doing, it offers a solution. Yeah. So it is depressing in essence. But what she's doing is she's trying to get every country to sign off making the Arctic Ocean a peace sanctuary where they don't commercially fish, they don't drill for oil, and they don't mine in that region. And the people, the Inuit people that do live up there, they would be the only ones that can fish up there, because that's where they
their original heritage. It's their culture.
That's their culture, but we don't need to be. I mean, I feel like
we don't need to be up there.
our world is so greedy. That's one of the last natural resources that the entire planet has, and I feel like people with money are melting it on purpose so that they can go and get more things out of it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I don't know. The two things that our company really just wants to talk about is the idea of success. In terms of success, doesn't have to be about money. It should be about how we're spreading like kindness and doing what you love on this planet.
So you can leave a legacy.
You can leave a legacy, and it shouldn't just be about being a billionaire, because I feel like people only look at success in terms of monetary. And the other thing is, like, our country is so socialized for the wealthiest people that they get bailed out. They get support and everything, and normal people losing their homes or with this coronavirus, like getting help, they're talking about helping all these giant corporations, but not regular people, which doesn't, and they don't even pay taxes. These giant companies want socialism for themselves, don't pay taxes. And I mean, normal people get fucked twice.
Yeah.
You pay the taxes and you don't get any help. So having the types of conversations and educating.
We offer solutions.
Yeah, we offer and educate in terms of quit voting against your best interest. Mm-hmm. You literally are bending over for like, you're getting fucked, literally.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's the like.
Can we curse on this? If not, I'm sorry.
No, I've been cursing. I don't fuck with that. Curse all you want. That's it's a nightmare. Did you show, you showed your show second, correct? At the show? Or were you third? Because on the finale, they aired you third, but I thought you went second.
It was interesting seeing that on, like, sometimes you just see it differently when it comes to, I think maybe it made better sense, like the way it flowed when they put it all together.
Because I wanted to bring up that you got the first, and again, you know, I was there, so I know, you got the first round of applause of the night, which I think is like, I don't know, I mean, that's also my first time ever at Fashion Week. I was at the season 17 finale, but that was like off season because they rushed it so quick, so it was like a weird space in Brooklyn.
Right.
But this one, like, I don't know if it's like people just didn't know if they could clap during Victorious, because hers was great too.
Right.
But then when your like mirror dress came out, applause.
That dress took so long, and I was so proud of creating, and I felt like that would maybe tell the story the most on its own.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I really want to just create these conversations with people and using fashion as a vehicle to letting people know, hey, these changes are not that hard, but nobody's talking about it. And it's because most of the narratives are controlled. People with money are controlling ignorance.
Everything.
Yeah. Well, and like what I like to also tell people a lot of the time too is people don't realize how much it takes to make a garment, how difficult it is. Even the t-shirts that people wear, like everything takes work and takes time and takes precision. And with what Sergio did for the finale collection, to create at the caliber he created, to use the amount, like people don't understand, but there's probably like in that second look, the second ivory look, there's probably what, like 10 yards of fabric just at the bottom of that dress.
It was probably like 15.
Yeah, 15. And that, which is a lot of work. And he did that entire thing by himself, the entire collection. And to create those tulle dresses, do you know how many hours it takes just to gather the tulle to create what he created? And that's something that we also, as a company, strive to do more couture techniques rather than manufacturing like fast techniques, is completely different. We're not using machines. It's all a lot of hand type of work. And that entire fringe dress, for instance, that got the round of applause.
Yeah.
All sewed by hand with the embroidery and the application and the beading. And then on top of that, the entire thing inside out is made by hand.
Jeez. God, I'm assuming you are binging a lot of television or listening to a lot of music while you're doing all this?
Netflix.
Well, I more binge on politics. I listen to a lot of what's going on in the world so that I can talk about it in my work and also just find the solutions to the problems, because they're not that hard to solve.
Do you go for podcasts, or are you like MSNBC all day long? Or
I'm more of a PBS. I love what is the
Young Turks?
Well, the Young Turks is something that I listen to a ton, but also is this
right here? Literally the entire time he was gone filming, I actually caught myself so how our apartment set up, we actually do a lot of like the cutting and pattern making in the living room area behind, like you can see it back in the back there, but we actually have a whole separate room that is like his quote unquote sewing room. And it drove me insane before he left, of him constantly playing politics as loud as he could, so he could drown out my Drag Race playing in the background.
And come then, on, there's room for both.
Exactly. And then I caught myself when he was gone walking back and forth between the living room and sewing room, even though he wasn't in there and no one was in there, just because he oftentimes constantly what I would do, I'd check on him in the sewing room, tell him to turn it down, because he literally that's what his fuel to his fire.
Yeah.
And it helps him concentrate, I think.
It helps me just like really focus in on what I'm doing. But Democracy Now! On PBS, Economic Update, really talks about like how everything is interconnected in terms of the economy. And then the Young Turks in terms of what their perspective is, because they're not bought out by like advertisers, so they can actually tell what's actually going on in the world, and doing it to where they hold everybody accountable and not just whoever's paying their bills at that moment.
Right. When I was working from home, because I worked from home as a freelance, well, no, permalance, that's a whole other story, for during the 2016 election, so I just had MSNBC on from 9 to 5 while I was working, and it just drove me crazy. And then after the election, I was just like, I'm done. I know. And I took a couple years break.
Election messed up a lot of people.
Hey, we're in it right now. Oh, the ripple effect. It's so great. So what is the next step now that, I mean, you're only a week out of Project Runway. So I imagine do you already have like the game plan for the next big thing?
Well, the next big collection, we want to focus in on a little bit more of my heritage. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk about what the war on drugs has done to a lot of South American countries.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because I feel like that's something that is affecting our country with terms of immigration. People are escaping how dangerous those places have become, which in the past they were not. And so I want to really like talk about this just this whole topic and really
shed light on the beauty of like their culture too.
Yeah.
Like,
well, how beautiful these places were. And I don't know if you're familiar, but, Portugal actually eradicated their war on drugs just by legalizing and then, making access to drugs free for people to participate in that. And once the drug dealers and all of that lost their money, they put the same people on to rehabilitate them and then put them to work. And it really just eliminated that thing. But our government and a lot of people actually make so much money in the prison system.
Yeah.
The prison system with immigration. And so they don't care. They don't care about us. Like, they don't care about anybody, but then they'll blame people wanting to
escape from
terror in their own countries when we've caused that problem.
I'm gonna take it on
and I hopefully we can have the conversation and solve this issue. But I mean, they're not hard. They're just like, you gotta see through all of the red tape that people with money are there.
Yeah. And then it's just also, I guess, company perspective wise, it's, we really want to have our own fashion show, like
a big one.
We do big
presentations
during Fashion Week. We've gotten amazing people to come to them. But to have a full on runway show, full fledged, like, even that was the first time I've sat in the audience for one of our things. If we ever do runway shows, 90% of the time I'm backstage.
Yeah.
For me to sit and be like watching it and just enjoying the moment that took place.
It was so great getting to watch you like a creeper. I was like watching you watch the show and then watching Brittany congratulate you after. Like, it was so sweet.
I was like trying not to cry the entire time. I'm very emotional. So for me, like the whole politics thing, I will take that and make the best out of it for what I do for the company. But outside of all of that, I just really like to just, there's 14 personalities in my head and all of us cannot handle any more stress. So I want to enjoy the moment and see the beauty for what it is and see it on women walking it, like, just to see how everything moves.
Powerful, and, yeah.
Yeah, and it just really told the story as well, like you were saying, of watching it come from starting the ice and melting into the ocean, and to really, like, the music and feel everything. I'm getting goosebumps again.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Like, it honestly was the most beautiful thing. And so when he got back home, I was like, we need to do this. We need to have an actual runway show. And then on top of that, figure out a way to, as a company, we want to be able to make sure we can be attainable by everyone. Mm-hmm. So I think our main focus too is to also have those huge moments of like those big ball gowns and all of the beating and all of that stuff, but also give a solution to people who want to support the company but can't necessarily afford something over $1,000.
Yeah.
We'll get something that can like be attainable.
Have access to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and if you want to, you know, start making some like line of capes for men, you know, I'm being fine with it.
Definitely. Also going to add men's looks this season.
Well, I just need a place to wear. But then again, I'm the guy that wears ascots to my day job. So like, whatever.
I wear capes to go to the grocery store. Yeah. So
as soon as he got back, we started dressing up and like really just trying to push the narrative of embracing your fashion more.
Yeah, because we get stopped on the street a lot now, and so we can't leave the house unless we look fabulous.
Well, that's also, like, what I'm trying to do, like, with, hey, hashtag COVID-19, I've been getting up and actually, like, putting on looks every single day that are more, even more than I would wear to the office, just because it's a form of self-care. It's also a form of distraction. And I also think that in a way, when we're all isolated, I want to see more faces on my Instagram feed.
So, you know, like, our Instagram actually has gotten the most traction over the past week, not just because of Project Runway, but because people are at home bored, twiddling their thumbs. Yeah. And so it's been great. Take advantage of it. We're actually going to start. What I want to do too is, so fashion, I feel like you can tell a lot through a photo, but I want to start creating videos and movies
and fashion film.
So I'm taking that upon myself and really, like, game planning everything out. But here pretty soon we're going to have a bunch of fashion films made out of our archive, to which then we'll also do a whole film as well with the new collection that's going to be coming soon as well. So I really want to tell some amazing stories. And also we have this really amazing, like, mask thing that Sergio did based off of Mortal Kombat that is perfection right now for COVID-19.
Yeah,
so literally we're gonna do a whole thing with that too, I think, soon. So
make a point. Take it on. I also just wanted to, like, say that, like, just Project Runway 18 was so much fun. Like, the series is always great, and everyone should watch all the Lifetime seasons are on Hulu. Everyone should stream them. I feel like they're slept on, and the Bravo ones are great, and these two back in Bravo have been great. And just that, like, final four, like, Jeffrey and Nancy and Victoria and you, just such a fun little quartet. And it looked like so much fun doing all those press days and stuff. Watch What Happens Live and everything.
Yeah, we all got along, and it was just beautiful to see, like, four talented people with such distinct points of view.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that really, like, brought something beautiful this season. And, like, everybody had such an amazing story of where they came from, not only beyond the clothes, but they're just good inspirations for people from every walk of the, like, walk of the woods.
And I do, so, like, on when you're watching a reality show and the person calls home and they start getting the backstory, it's like, oh God, they're either gonna win or they're gonna go home. Like, that's the only... Whenever you were like, I need to call Cade, was that in the back of your head of, like, they're gonna edit this? I might go home this week, even if my look is great, because it's a great story. Did that ever deter?
Well, you know what? I was actually never worried about going home. Yeah. That was never one of the things that was, like, ever in my mind. I was like, if I go home, that was it. I was more worried about being able to talk to him at the end of the day, because I missed him so much.
Literally, we, like, every time he called, I was crying. Like, I swear, I am an emotional person, but I don't cry all the time. But literally, with his whole thing, it was like, with him being gone, it was a lot of stress.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a 26-year-old baby, too. Like, literally, I'm still, like, trying to figure life out. And then on top of that, run a company, handle interns, handle clients, and pay for New York rent and electricity. I broke out in the hives, but I didn't tell him that. But, like, it was stressful. And I don't even think you knew. He doesn't watch reality television.
Oh, so really?
For him to make a phone call, he's like, I just need to make a phone call. He didn't have no clue. I feel like you wouldn't have a clue.
No, I actually didn't even make the connection because I don't really watch a lot of reality TV. Mm-hmm. And I was just more excited to get to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And I dedicated the Christmas dress to him, even though I didn't show it. Because Cade's favorite holiday is Christmas.
Yeah.
And he, like, brought a whole new love for me for Christmas, because my family didn't really have any money growing up for even Christmas presents. So I never, like, I liked Halloween because you could be somebody different for a day.
I love a Halloween. I love Christmas. Oh my God. We have the huge Christmas party every single year with a giant Yankee swap game that goes like 2 hours. I don't put a price limit on it, which means that people bring crazy stuff.
Oh my god. Well, you'll have to invite us next time.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
We'll put a cape in that mix.
Yeah.
And then I'll fight for it. No, god. Well, so at the end of every episode, I always ask my guests to issue a challenge to myself or the listeners, something that will broaden our horizons, be it with clothes or at this time in all of our lives, just with our sanity and self-care. Is there anything you would like to challenge us to do?
Sure. What I do want to challenge people is take what you love to do and make a difference in the world with it. So I feel like our world gets so caught up in surviving and like not all of us get to do what we love as a job. But what I want people to take away is do that thing that you love, make a difference in the world. And we also just need to change the world where everybody can do what they love, create and be able to survive in that climate.
And I feel like my challenge for people, because I had a hard time learning this, and I think it's helped me tremendously as a person, is listening and communicating. Hmm. I think those are the two things we as humans don't do, is we do not sit there and listen to somebody's perspective and then communicate rather than bash or attack.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's more so.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Yeah, I think it's more so trying to understand and then also communicating how you feel as a person, too, because I think that's important, not to hold on to it and latch on to it, but release it and release it in a way that
is positive
and or let somebody understand your perspective. I think those are the two things.
I love it. Where can people follow the continuing adventures of Celestino on the internet?
Yeah. So they could follow us on Instagram,
Celestino Couture, and then Twitter is Celestino Moment. We're not really, I don't understand Twitter. We do what we can.
That's it for this week's episode. Take Sergio and Cade up on that challenge and take what you love and try and change the world with it, especially right now. Please, and also while you're at it, listen and communicate. Use your words carefully and listen. Listen. Got that? Thanks again to my guests, Sergio Guadarrama and Kate Johnson. You can follow them on Instagram at Celestino Couture. You can follow Enlighten My Loafers on Instagram for show notes, style inspiration, and more. And if you have any questions about anything, just slide into the DMs on Instagram. And if you like what you've heard, rate and review the show in Apple Podcasts. Enlighten My Loafers is edited by me, produced by Benjamin Ragib, photography by Sam Walker, and graphic design by Dylan Phelps, all people that I wish I could see face to face. And this week's style inspiration is all of you, literally anyone that is just getting dressed and trying to get through the day. We're all in this together. Oh, God. Thanks to all you for listening, and I will be back with more questions and more answers. Suits you.